Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyade Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govardhana Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sīrupam sagrājatam sāgana raghunatam vitantam sajīvam sārvetam sabadhūtam padījana saitam krishna chaitana devam sīrādhā krishna padān sāgana rāshī viṣṭakam vitanṣā हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कान्हा राधा कान्त नमोस्तुते ताप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुती देवी Pranamami Hari Priye Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Govardhana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Actually, I just have an idea. Who of you has these songbooks? Gaudiya Giti Gucha? Some of you have? In the room, No one else, just me has one?
Is it a special song?
Yeah, well, there's one song which we wanted to sing, but the devotee forgot to make copies. Okay. So, next time. Yes, here comes a... So we have been all this time reading from this last composition of Srila Rupa Goswami, Utkalika Valari. It is translated as a wine of intense longing. Longings. We have read this composition with a desire to learn about the heart of Rupa Goswami and to become impregnated, moved, and also, how would you say, influenced by this. For that end, we have described the situation. It is described that Rupa Goswami was really at the end of his life so much eager to behold the beautiful darshan of his beloved couple, that the feelings of separation were in a way building up a lot of heat. It is described, if someone would come by Rupa Goswami and be hit, or how would you say, touched by his exhale, he would surprised, astonished, and a little bit shocked. He would jump because the air which left Rupa Goswami's body was so much hot due to his feelings of separation. We know about physical transformations in our bodies due to emotions, but I think we don't know this type of feeling. For instance, we know that when we are ashamed, we blush. Our physical complexion becomes red. We know this has happened to us. Or we know when we become angry, our eyes may become red. So we know that feelings do influence the physical conditions, but it is the first time where I personally have heard that the feelings of separation from God make the exhaling breath so hot that leaves which are hit by the breath of such a person are just shrinkling. I don't know if they catch fire, you know. I don't think they will, but it's very odd. So with this, with these type of emotions, I mean, these are intense emotions. Rupa Goswami sits in the forest of Vrindavan and says that he now wants to open his heart, and he especially wants to show the burning marks with his which the hot tears of separations have made. He wants to show them. So I will request Bhagavati, our specialist for fresh air. No problem. These are radical sounds. They are very much welcome. The children, let the children ping and pong and push. They're children. So the poem or the prayer, like anything which makes a journey, progresses through different states, and it's very interesting. Two reoccurring themes which seem to be very important for our own sadhana are a feeling of utter worthlessness on one side, but strangely a feeling of great hope on the other side. And how to bring these two together, I think, is almost a paradox which is difficult to comprehend. So in today's verse, Rupa Goswami will bring these two things together: the feeling of being totally unqualified for the darshan of the Lord, and at the same time the tremendous hope to attain something which even the great devotees like Ambarish and Narad Muni have not obtained. You know. So please listen to this verse 34. Atavamankin nudushanam bata brindavana chakravatino. You Atavamankin nudushanam bata brindavana chakravatino. Yuva yoguna madurina va Janum unmande yatiha kang nava. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami reveals that although he feels unqualified and he still has offered such outlandish prayers to see Radha and Krishna's confidential pastimes with his own eyes. And he says this is due because the divine couple have a charm which totally overwhelms one, and therefore he cannot be responsible for his outlandish prayers. He says, am I at fault in making such a request, to see Radha and Krishna together like a black bumblebee, that's Krishna, landing on a jasmine flower? Am I at fault in making such a request? O Master and Mistress of Vrindavan, Shri Krishna and Shri Radha, I ask you, who would not be driven mad by your ever fresh sweetness? Yes, I'm mad, but it's not my fault, it's your fault. By drinking the honey liquor of the sweetness of your qualities, I have become so intoxicated that I have dared to offer such a prayer. So, it's amazing. Rupa Goswami says, I'm fully authorized because I'm a drunken man to want to have the highest. I have become intoxicated by the honey liquor of the sweetness of your qualities. Now, of course, immediately the question is, what qualities have totally have made Rupa Goswami step over all boundaries? And you know, what particular qualities, Rangidi? These are qualities which you soon will hear, which are totally infatuating. There are two very specific qualities about which the devotees meditate in this world and which make them so happy that they can be called drunken people. Valadev Vidyabhushana explains these qualities in his Tika purport. Who would not be maddened by the sweetness of your eternal freshness and your other infatuating qualities, such as, listen, delivering the fallen and purifying the sinners? It is only natural that the appeal of a beautiful object will incite greed in even a hopeless beggar. Your charming qualities are the cause of this fallen person's madness. Today, we were thinking about this. We had ended our parikrama, and we drove by the Govardhan sweet shop. And Madhava got out and got such sweets. They looked just so absolutely tempting. They were swimming in a liquid. I was immediately thinking of Abhijit and Rasgulas. But they were not Rasgulas. They were something else. So he brought these sweets into our three-wheeler, and he took the cover off these sweets, and there they were lying. The most beautiful sweets in the universe, and everyone went like, wow, and looked at them, and with greedy eyes, and within seconds they were devoured by the parikramis, because they just looked so beautiful that they incited a greed which overstepped all boundaries. You know, no one should eat sweets in public. Sannyasis should especially not eat sweets, and you know, and it is highly uncultured for Vaishnavas to eat in public. It was not even offered. The understanding was, this is already offered to Giriraj, because absolute greed took over the inhabitants of the three wheelers. Why? Because these sweets were just so absolutely attractive. You should have seen, and all the beauty of this world was manifesting in these sweets. So Baladev Vidyabhushana says, makes a point. It is only natural that the appeal of a beautiful object will incite greed in even a hopeless beggar. It's only natural. If you become involved with the beauty of Krishna, it's only natural that you want to obtain him. It's not unnatural. But then he says, and there is good reason even for a hopeless beggar to be attracted to Krishna, because Krishna has these qualities such as delivering the fallen and purifying the sinners. Now, to explain this, in the book Bhakti Rasayana, I have made an attempt to describe Krishna's special quality of saving the sinners by bringing to the attention of our readers the life of Putana. Putana only dressed like a devotee. She was not a devotee. She looked outside like a devotee, but inside she had the desire to kill Krishna. Can you imagine this? I mean, no one of we all are dressed like devotees, and some there's one or two great devotees amongst us. But speaking for myself, I'm really dressed up. I'm not a devotee inside. There's a big difference between my outside and my inside. But I don't think of killing Krishna. That is a thought I would never entertain. It gives pain to my heart to think about this. Even when a picture falls down or a sacred book which has Krishna's words, I become highly disturbed and want to pick the book up. You know, killing? It's not in my Putana had this. She was dressed up like a devotee, Vaishnav cloth, tilak, everything. And Krishna, what did Krishna do? Krishna accepted the one good thing which was totally external. It has nothing to do with her heart. She came and offered her breast milk. It was not motherly affection. It was a killing intent, because she had smeared her breast with the most dangerous Kalakuta poison, you know. But he accepted that he is dressed up like a devotee, and she behaves like a mother. This was Krishna's idea, and therefore he liberated her. Just think about this nature of Krishna to deliver the fallen. And do you know what happened when they burned Putana to get rid of her body? It was touched by Krishna and it smelled so nice. Some devotees have cleansed a little Lalita, not a little, quite substantially they have cleansed the extension of Lalita Kul, and then they burned the garbage, and the garbage smelled for one day. You know, it was burning this plastic and Indian garbage smell. It is really, you can, most of Mumbai thinks it smells like this. Not most, but much of Mumbai. You know, the garbage is burning. Putana's body was also garbage. She was a demon. But she smelled like frankincense because she was purified by Krishna's hand. Like good frankincense. So this shows you that Krishna delivers the fallen and purifies the sinner. There is a prayer in this connection which talks about Krishna's quality of being merciful. Maybe we can just extinguish the light because it smokes like a... there is a way to do it, and I think Syamnam knows how to do it. So there is a prayer in this connection which is recited by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Stavamala. He says, O Krishna, destroyer of Agasura, my heart burns in despair when I hear of the difficult to perform austerities which great saints like Shukadev performed in the past. For I am totally devoid of devotion. I can't do these austerities. My heart burns in despair. When I hear that he went to the forest to meditate about you, I just can't imagine myself doing it, because only if my heart is full of devotion can I do it. We feel this very much on Govardhan Parikrama. Whenever we lose devotion from our heart, it becomes a torture, this austerity. But as soon as there's devotion, it's ecstasy. So I have no devotion in my heart, therefore the smallest idea of a cold shower already, you know, I make 50 mobile telephone calls to secure my hot water. I really, it kills me, austerity. So this is what he said. So I know I can never please you by austerities. But when I hear from the Shastras and from the saintly people that the waves of your compassion flow to all creatures from Brahma to the insignificant ant, my heart becomes cool and I become soothed. Soothed is like I derive solace. Let us think about the statement of this verse for a moment. Do you sometimes also despair and think, I will never reach Krishna or Radha? Do you know this feeling, or are you every day totally secure? It's just too much. It's just too high for me. It's just on a level. No material desires, freedom from ego, more tolerant than the straw in the street. That's not for me. Do you sometimes feel like that? Or you feel, some of you, I know we have members who can't chant 16 rounds strangely, they can't do it, and then they feel, how will I ever reach the minimum mark of a devotee? This this feeling gives one pain, no? But Rupa Goswami says there is this one quality in Krishna, which is he wants to give compassion. Raghunath Das Goswami says, Radharani's whole form melts from compassion. She's even more compassionate than Krishna. Radharani is so compassionate that she just can't tolerate the misery of someone else. And this is expressed by Purnamasi. Purnamasi is saying, "Oh Radhe, you are so compassionate. There was this little calf, and the calf ate these straw, and it pierced the lip of the calf. Maybe you have seen in the Govinda Kunda Ashram there is a calf, and they get this quite, it appears to be so dry, but they like it apparently. There's also water next to it. Yeah. But it looks really dry. And this one calf ate a little fast, and one sharp dry straw just pierced in it, the lip. When this came to the attention to compassionate Radharani, she could not tolerate this, and she went to the calf and applied fresh kumkum on the lip of the calf, which takes care of infection and it does take care of healing. So Jiva Goswami makes the point, this calf was a very special calf. It was the calf or the daughter of a cow which was especially dear to Krishna. From this we can learn, says Jiva Goswami, that Radha is especially merciful to those who try to be devotees of Krishna. She cannot tolerate the misery of someone. Now I can read from your eyes, I'm so miserable and I don't experience Radha's compassion. It's a lie. It's such a lie. It's so wrong what Satchinanda Swami says. It's dangerously wrong. I can see in your eyes this doubt is there. My dear devotees, there is one trick which you must, trick is not the word, one inner attitude which those who seek earnestly mercy must have. It's the attitude of desperate desire for Krishna and absolute openness, not hiding behind your shadow. This was a little bit Jungian psychology in Radha Kund. Let this be enough of this subject. You cannot hide. For this, I want to ask you now a difficult question. Why do you always hide behind your mask? What in you is it that stops you from giving yourself 100% to whatever you are doing? What is it that puts the brake so that you never give yourself entirely to something? When you can solve this question, your spaced outness will stop. You will become very eager to render service, and you will think of all the items which you have to take care in your service. It will not be difficult for you. But as long as you just can't identify your internal break, what is a brake? You know, you brake a car, you put your feet on a brake and then the car stops. We have this brake in our spiritual life. We put something in us, puts it, activates that brake, and then we say, I go up till here, but I don't go further than this. And this makes it so difficult, and this makes it so absolutely bad, so that this evening I have decided to attack it with a lot of force. It happens unconsciously. We are not conscious about this break. It's too sinister. Sinister means something evil. It comes from different lives. It's just previous lives. We just don't want to make that extra step in surrender to Krishna. It comes, of course, from the ego, but it's more than the ego. It's the ego and an Udgrata Yanti is a Sanskrit word. It's a knot in the ego. The knot is tied by our karma. It's not so easy to solve this knot. It's not just a twisted ego. It's karma is also in there. It's a force which is more binding than the strong and the weak force which hold the subatomic reality together. It's really a strong thing. Ego plus karma, this makes the knot. And that makes the break. Oh, Krishna. And then we never give ourselves entirely to what we do. So a devotee needs to see I'm in a dangerous position, and he needs to plead, beg, request, call out, cry for that compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani. See, I've come like this to your door, Srimati Radharani. I'm doing some menial jaru seva, I'm sweeping before your door, and I hope that the door will just into your palace will open a little crack, you know, and then I will be able to hear the tinkling sounds from your anchor bell mixed with Krishna's flute play. And the devotee prays like that, no? Eagerness. It doesn't serve us well to hide behind our break and give it a good name. Cultured attitude, an intellectual understanding of things and so on. It doesn't serve us very well. It's better we understand this that we have this break and throw ourselves into the dust of Braj mixed with the sweat of the parikramis. But then, when we have this attitude where we don't hide behind our terrible mask of non-surrender, which is an almost automatic mask which goes up because of our ego and our past karma, then we become genuine candidates for this mercy. Am I at fault in making such requests? I like this question so much. O Master, Mistress of Vrindavan, Sri Krishna and Sri Radha, I asked you, who would not be driven mad by your ever-fresh sweetness? By drinking the honey liquor of the sweetness of your qualities, I have become so intoxicated that I have dared to offer such a prayer. And then the prayer comes. Ahaha. Then he starts to go right into the prayer. Ahaha. Ahaha. The beast, really he gets intense now. Get ready for another dose of fresh devotion. Mm-hmm. samayo so pikshe mogate na narasya kim brajanatavaro yatro dita kripa sudo jochvala krita parijana shreni chetasakora chama kriti brajati uvayo savak Vaktendu dvainaya natvani. O Sri Krishna, foremost of all the great dancers in Braj, O Sri Radha, crown jewel of all the lady dancers, Krishna the best dancer, male dancer, and rather the best lady dancer. When will that auspicious day come when your gorgeous moon-like faces come on the path of my vision? Faces imbued with nectarian mercy. Faces which enamor the Chakora bird hearts of the Sakis. I think there is one book, yes, the Bhajan Rahasya. It's a little broken, so. Now, this is a very interesting verse. It reminds us of the verses of Bilva Mangala Thakur. Bilva Mangala Thakur, as we know, had been unable to free himself from sexual attractions on his own. But then Chintamani, who was something like a noble prostitute, was convincing him that if he could just be as attached as he was to her body, Krishna, then he would be self-realized. So Bilva Mangala Thakur, oh Krishna, maybe Abhijit, in your simple Bengali for village people, you have to say, can't they do this somewhere else, the children, or is it, it's Diwali, they have to do?
I can tell
them. Just in Bengali, like just for half an hour, and then they can go crazy, you know. Yeah. Very good. Half an hour. They do it. Yes, very good. This is how to express it, Abhijit. You have convinced us with your very simple, that was simple Bengali, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very effective. I'm trying to find, so Bilva Mangala Thakur went to Vrindavan, and on his way to Vrindavan, he became blind. But he was so much intoxicated by Krishna's beauty that he sang songs. He was at that time I found it. Yeah, he was at that time surrounded by associates, people who also went to Vrindavan. He was on a long journey. He came all the way from South India. And the thought of going to Vrindavan, Krishna's home country, that thought made him just so enthusiastic that he ran, and his associates just had paper and pen, and they wrote down these verses which he spontaneously composed. Imagine, this is Krishna Bhavanamrita. And as he was approaching Vrindavan, he somehow thought of himself to be an assistant of Srimati Radharani, a Manjari, and Manjari knows the heart of Radha very much. Radha doesn't need to say anything. The Manjari is just connected with the heart of Radha and knows everything which Radha thinks. We have this a little bit in this world between a mother and a child. The mother knows, even though the child has not expressed anything, what was in the mind of the child. I was very much, this was a problem for me because I could not hide anything before my mother. My mother always knew that I had not gone to school, but I have played all the time because school was the most intense torture I've ever experienced in this life. Mother, again, you have not gone to school. What will become out of you? You will never be able to read anything. When you open your mouth, you will sound like a fool. Go to school. I'm making your favorite pudding for you if you go to school. I said, Mother, I almost was in the school. My foot already passed almost over the doorway of the school, but then fresh apples are on the tree, and I was immediately going to the fresh apples. It was a little bit. Satya should not hear this lecture because she's in a similar situation. Yeah. Satya and myself have, this is our one connecting link, which is definitely very strong. So the Manjari knows what is in the heart of Radha, and Bilva Mangala Thakur, in this Manjari mood, in this servant mood, is saying this verse. Radha is separated from Krishna, but she has a hallucination that Krishna has come to her. It's an imagination. It's not really a revelation. It's like an imagination, but not like our imaginations. Huh? We are very much on this something else. So she says, "Is this not Cupid himself?" She sees a picture of Krishna coming towards him. "Or is it the sun globe of sweetness? It must be erotic love personified. Or is it the nectar of my eyes and mind? Or could this be this boy who appears here before my eyes, the beloved of my life, who has returned?" So absorbed in the mood of separation, Radharani suddenly saw Krishna appear in the distance, and in her surprise and confusion, she began to have an internal debate. Who is this? Is it Cupid? Cupid is certainly beautiful, but not that beautiful. Besides, Cupid is known as Mara, the one who kills everyone in this world. But this form who comes, he's giving life to me. It's not killing me. And then Allah says, but there's so much light coming from his body, I believe it's the sun globe of sweetness. But no, the sun doesn't move back and, you know, left and right, you know, like a lazy elephant. It goes straight. It can't be the sun. It must be sweetness itself personified. So she debates. And in the end, she says, yes, indeed, this is my life's beloved Krishna. Come, come, my sakis, and look at Krishna. So, in many of our Bilvamangala Thakur's composition, he compares Krishna with light coming. It's very remarkable. If you go through Krishna Kanamrita, there's always the personified Brahman, or it's the sun globe, or he compares Krishna with light. So in this verse, the author, Rupa Goswami, compares Krishna and Radha's faces with a moon-like faces that come into the path of the vision. Faces which are imbued with nectarian mercy. Faces which enamor the Chakora bird hearts of the Sakis. This is the transcendental light of Radha Krishna, which extinguishes the flames of the raging forest fire of material existence. When you begin to see Radha and Krishna, they will appear like the moon breaks free in the night. Now today is Amavasya. Finally, Amavasya. It's absolutely pitch dark outside, and from tomorrow the moon will start to grow again, and with it our strength. I'm a moon child. When Amavasya is, I'm totally weak, but from tomorrow my strength will come again, and I need it for Giriraj to please him. So Amavasya. Finally, from tomorrow we can live again. So now we live in the dark night of material existence. We are in the Amavasya of our life. This is the darkness of our lives. Prabhus, we don't see Radha and Krishna. You are in the Amavasya period. Wow! This is the dark period of your life, Sachidevi. But soon, we are in Kartik, in Braj, especially at Radha Kund, Giri Raj. Krish Radha sees that these devotees are just there to get the mercy of Krishna. And Radha has personally asked Krishna in her compassion that, my dear Lord, please, I beg you of one thing. Krishna heard Radharani, and he was very moved, because Radharani had not been able to tolerate the separation from him any longer, and had gone to the lake of Kaliya to throw herself in a second time. This is described in Lalita Madhava at the end. And in the last minute they found her and could capture her, and so that she wouldn't do this. And then Krishna was so moved that he was ready to give Radha everything. And Radha asked, please, my dear Lord, make that anyone who comes to the holy Dham and who wants to have your darshan in your adolescent Kaishora form, please never ever disappoint them. Always show yourself to them. And Krishna couldn't say no. He said, yes, tatastu. So we are here now in the month of Kartik. We are struggling, trying to do whatever we can do. And I'm very, very sure that all of you will get 100% good mercy from Radha and Krishna. I pray you just need to be here just like a stone who needs to fall into water and stay under water for a little bit, then it's wet, at least from the outside. You know, so this is what you need to do in the month of Kartik. Just come and immerse yourself in the nectarian atmosphere. I was feeling like this when I came to Radhakund today. When I entered, I thought the whole Radhakund is like one temple. Have you noticed? Everywhere there's this part going on, this prasadam distribution, this singing and so on, and this you know, prayer to Radharani, and it's just like one devotional company, you know. Very, very, very good. So I will end today's reading by reading to you a little bit about the milking of Krishna, how Krishna milks his cows. Would you like to know the Sattva Bhushan Bhushan? Good. So this is in the evening. Krishna has returned from the meadows, and the lake of Braj that had dried up in cracks from the severe heat of the sun of separation from Krishna was now again blissfully filled up by the ecstatic showers from the Krishna cloud that made the lotus-like faces of the Brajavasis bloom up with satisfaction once more. So let's, you know, this is too much poetry for ordinary people at once. The Brajavasis are compared with a dried up lake which has these cracks, you know. Now Krishna has returned like the monsoon rain has filled up these dried up lakes, and therefore, the faces of the Brajvasis are like lotus flowers which bloom like happiness in the lake of Braj. Wonderful, isn't it? Just imagine to think of such poesy. This makes your head twist and turn. So, Radharani looked at Krishna from the distance to watch the pastime of milking the cows. And this is how it goes. The cows became enthusiastic when Hari called them by the name, saying, Dabali, Shabali, come! And mooing, the cows jumped over each other, my God, to come near him. I saw that at Dandavat Parikrama. Did you also saw all of a sudden these cows, two cows, they just jump. They can jump really high when they're... Did you see or...
I don't know which one.
It was when we were near the Govardhan Palace. All of a sudden, the cows jumped, and I thought, my God, are they high? You know, when you're on the ground, they seem to go to a jump to the sun. They were so high. So here, Krishna, when he calls them, the cows jump over each other. Krishna made them happy by lightly scratching them on their back while his eyes were glowing with tears of love. Krishna loves his cows so much. They glow the eyes. Radha, look, the prince of Braja keeps his knees on the ground and keeps a jeweled bucket in between them as he milks the cows. The milk in the bucket reflects his face. Aha, Krishna's face is in the milk of the bucket. It's reflected. And his face looks like the moon rising from the milk ocean. His turban was slightly loosened as it touched the cow's belly. You know, Krishna is there. He has a little stall, it's like a little seat like this. He sits on it, but it's a movable seat. I imagine it has one leg only, because there needs to be some flexibility. And his knees are around the jeweled milk bucket. And his turban is a little loose, because it's on the bellies of the cows, so that his curly locks came out from under the turban like swarms of bumblebees. And his lotus-like eyes stopped dancing. You know, because he just is so busy with everything, you know. After first worshipping Mother Earth with the first two or three streams of milk, Krishna took some milk to moisten the cow's nipples and his own fingers. His hand moved up and down while his milking made sounds like shana shana and gashma gashma. My favorite verses. O moon-faced Radha, the other cows became very anxious. They also wanted to be milked by Krishna. When they saw that Krishna had finished milking one cow, they went, come here, come here, come to me. Look, Syama's hips and thighs are marked with spotless drops of milk. And the cows and calves drank the nectar of his fresh youthful luster with tear-filled eyes, keeping their necks bent. You imagine, Krishna loves the cows so much that he cries, and the cows love Krishna so much that they also have tear-filled eyes. The cowherd boys called the multicolored cows after having most blissfully milked them, saying, let go, come here, hurry up, take them, go, in different words. You know, everyone is busy with the cows. Even the greatest poets could not count the number of cows that were as blackish as Giridhari himself. I did not know. There are many cows. Out of the many cows, there are many who are black as Krishna. So when Krishna is finished milking, he hears from some of his friends where Radha is. Radha had watched the cow milking pastimes of Krishna, which took place in the big barns of Nanda Maharaj. And do you know where the big barns of Nanda Maharaj are? They are not on top of Nandishwara, because it's too tiresome for the cows to go up. They are down at the hill near Pavan Sarova. They are there. Why should the cows climb so much? when they come back with their heavy udders. It's unzumutbar. So Krishna, after milking the cows, takes a bath in Pavan Sarova. Apparently, he has the idea to just wash his body off from the dust and everything. But there's another reason. He knows that Radharani was watching from a moon watchtower. You know, it's a tower from where you can watch the moon very nicely. And he knows Radha will take her bath also. So Krishna dives from his side of Pavan Sarova all the way through Pavan Sarova without any problem, and arrives where Radharani takes her bath, and in this way has a few stolen moments with Radharani. We will end today. Is the sun that destroys the darkness in the day with its thousands of all-pervading lion-like rays now torn apart and swallowed by the lion of darkness in the sky and dissolved in it? In other words, the sun, Krishna, Krishna's cow milking pastimes have now ended and night has fallen. It's the simple explanation what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes. Krishna has gone and retired, and having said this, we will put Utkali Kavalari and Krishna Bhavanamrita to rest. These Granthas will also sleep now, and tomorrow, if Mahaprabhu shows us his mercy, we will again open them and hear further prayers of Rupa Goswami. But I would just like to send you home with this one question. Question it: what is it in you that keeps you from giving 100% to whatever it is that you are doing? What is it in you? It's good to think about this, to become aware of it, and then to happily attack it with the power of transcendental, with the dust of Braj, you know. Throw dust on it. When we can, and we know it's basically ego and karma and our material desires, but it's good if we know it and then pray for the compassionate qualities of Krishna. I personally must tell you one thing in my life. All my spiritual life has become very simple. I have understood that I can't do anything on my own. The bigger things in my spiritual life are not under my control. I just count on the compassion of Radha and Krishna and trying to just attain the compassion by service and by praying for this to save me, a fallen sinner, and in this way some hope has again come in the horizon of my heart. And devotees ask me, how are you? I'm just saying I'm somehow very happy this last year. The last few years, I don't know why, because I'm just very happy. After having understood that Krishna is willing to take your case, even when you pray for mercy, you just need to not pretend to be someone you are not. That's not good.